Revelation, at the turning of the written word, I have beheld Jesus in today, even as he sees us in himself, the glorified, glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So, answer to this question from Scripture. Matthew 28 from verses 18. You know, sometimes one would want to ask, why must you go to Matthew 28? Well, Matthew 28 gives us a, like call it a background or a preamble into what you find in the book of Acts and the epistles. Do you understand? So it actually lays for us the foundation or the foundation, let me put it the foundation, or put the structure for what we call the gathering of believers and what believers should do. Do you understand this today? So, or we put the church, hallelujah, because it's awesome. Those closing remarks of Jesus are the 40 days that you find the church. I hope you're following the church. So it's very wise as a Bible student to go back again and read such instructions, because those are the basis for which we function as believers. Hallelujah. So when you read the passage, when you read it, it's just to reaffirm, right? Reaffirm what it is what Christ has instructed us to do. And from there we see, from there we can see the epistles clear. Hopefully that what happened in the books of Acts becomes very clear. So when Jesus says, go make disciples, right? He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am is with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Mark 15, 1 verses 15. And he said to them, go preach the gospel. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will drink. He said, they will take up serpents. He said, they shall drink any deadly thing. He shall not hurt them. So they will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Come on, read the Bible. And I'm not doing reading poetry. It's not poetry. So you have to look at your Bible. He says, and he sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. I remember years back, as far back as actually around 2041 of our December meeting, around 2014, I called up a scripture and I was reading something else. Gee, I hope you're following me. And to my greatest surprise, nobody even knew. Because a lot of them were not even opening there. Amen? Whatever you have to open. What if I'm not reading from the book of Joshua? How will you know? Or the book of 1 Corinthians? Pastor, you have missed it. Hey, read. Hallelujah. Amen? Be that believer that is diligent to read. Sometimes I know scriptures, a lot of scriptures, as in, but you know what? The discipline of a believer is you check it, you open it again, you will read. Amen? I can tell you confidently whether every time I'm studying and I want to write Matthew 28, I open it. I'm reading a lot of things, but when I get to write scriptures, I open it. The discipline I have. Amen? I will open it. I'm not just saying because I can quote it. No, I'll open it. I will read it. Hallelujah. Amen? It's part of worship. There's nothing like I've done it. That is a bad attitude. You are following me. So Luke 24, verses 45, he says, and he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. He says, and Tarsus received and Tarsus beholds Christ to suffer to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin be preached in his name amongst all nations beginning at Jerusalem. There are here witnesses of this. Hallelujah. So, okay. So, very important. We also looked at John 20, verse 22. A breath on thy mouth shall receive yet the Holy Ghost. So whosoever sins ye forgive are forgiven. And whosoever ye retain are retained. Hallelujah. Very vital and very important as we go ahead. So we said this will be Jesus' instructions, right? Within the 40 days. So what did Jesus do within the 40 days? He taught, right? Acts chapter 1, he said he taught them. within the 40 days. So Jesus wasn't coming. So their primary thing Jesus did was to teach. So within the 40 days, he gave them instructions, right? And those instructions are the same. Hallelujah. Those instructions are the same. Though they were penned down differently by the different authors of the synoptic, but yet they are the same. Hallelujah. They are the same. Look at how what they wrote. It's the same. So we said it deals with what? Discipleship, right? The raising of disciples and what will happen in discipleship. And you'll find that collaborated by all of them. Hallelujah. By all of them. Glory to God. Amen. So, we said that Jesus was reading from scriptures. Right? Reading from scriptures. He reads from scripture. 44 of Luke 24. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. Did you see that? Say that all things must be fulfilled, which everything the Lord Moses. That word fulfilled is something we look at shortly. Look at again. So all things must be fulfilled, everything the Lord Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means if Jesus reads from the scripture, he shows you that the instructions are instructions of scripture. Never forget that. What does that mean? Never you forget that the instructions of Jesus are instructions of scriptures. Hallelujah. We are read together. So, and they are God's instructions. Right? They are God's instructions. So where would that instruction be carried out from? Let me see who has been following us. Where would it be carried out from? Is it from the reservation? Okay. From where? Where would that instruction be? Where will it be carried from? No? It will be carried out from the local church. Right? 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 Glory to God. So, you'll carry that instruction from the local church, or you put it, that instruction will be instructions that will be executed via the local church. Hallelujah. So that means the local church is in the background because of the use of the word make disciples. Hallelujah. So, very important. So Jesus in Matthew 28, he says, teaching them. So who would you be teaching? The believing ones, right? Now in using the word teaching them, it becomes very vital. God wants men to know him. God wants men to know him. So teaching becomes very vital. It takes me back again to something we said during the last session. So which of the last session? The last session that was, is it 3 hours? Yes, it was a session, don't you know? It then took back to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15. He says something here that I read again. It says, study to show thyself approved. He said, a worker who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. So that means teaching has to do with how, you know, it tells Timothy who is a pastor. Is that? So because in the local church, who will be given the responsibility of raising the of discipling men? The pastor, right? The sole responsibility of the local church is handed over to the pastor. It's called the poimen. And his tax is the tax of a poimen. A poimen is the tax of feeding the sheep. Hope you're following me. So his responsibility is that of a pastor. Or that responsibility is the responsibility of a pastor. And Paul will write about the bishop. He will say, he write about a bishop. And he will say the bishop must be apt to teach. Did you see that? So that means that responsibility is that given to the pastor to teach. Now, that responsibility of teaching is not bedtime. Paul will tell Timothy, who is a pastor. He will tell Timothy is the pastor to the church in Ephesus. Yeah. He will tell him to study to show thyself approved. Now, that study is the word to be diligent, right? Spodizo, spode. From the word spode, to be earnest. Now, he says, study to show thyself approved. Is it approved to God? No. Approved as one approved by God. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Because the way that was for day is used. It's not used to show yourself approved to God. No, it's used for
I mean, that word approved is used by, like, one who is approved by God. How Paul will use it.
So, Paul will show himself approved by God. How?
He said, as a worker who need not be ashamed.
Did you see that?
Rightly divided. Now, when you use the word ototomio, logon aletia, now, that word, when you use that word, it shows you that there is a structural way that scripture should be presented.
Hallelujah.
So, he said rightly. So that means I could wrongly divide it.
Okay, when you use the word ototomio, is how you carry out surgery.
Okay. Amen.
So when you use the word ototomio, is how you carry out surgery. You know, you can't, you don't want to, you want to start carry out a surgery. You know, the first thing you do is to do it. Give the person, I'm just using it as an example, please don't turn it to a doctrine. Don't discuss me. I'm just using it as an example. You don't just find a doctor who wants to carry out surgery, just walk into the patient and just divide the patient. Oh yeah, right now. Yeah.
No now.
Hallelujah. That would be wrongly, right? You have to give the person some sense of injections, right? The one that will take away the pain. And you just see how the person, like, so you are cutting a meat, you're not at a level. There's a difference between you don't know what is a letter, is a Greek word for a butcher. So you are not a butcher. Amen? You are an educated butcher. You know that? That's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say. You just have to tell the person what with discretion. You have to do it rightly. Right? So the same way or similarly, when it comes to how you present scripture, there are ways you present scripture rightly. You must rightly present scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means how you present scriptures, how you represent or preach the scriptures should follow a certain principle.
Glory to God.
Amen? You should follow, you must be right. You must be right. Look at Jesus. In Matthew 7:28, the Bible says when it was on teaching them on chapter 5 to chapter 7, the Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught as one having authority. Did you see that? They were astonished. So where was he reading from? From Matthew 5. He was reading from Moses. Read us from Matthew 5. He was reading Moses. Hallelujah. He was reading and explaining Moses. So that means I must. So that means one, Paul will say as a worker, right? So that means a Bible teacher or a student of scripture is a worker. Bible study requires effort, requires work. It's the word used for a toiler, a laborer. Did you get me? So that means it requires labor. Hallelujah. It requires labor. Labor. Glory to God. Requires labor. A man of God or a believer is, teaching, presenting the gospel is not bedtime story. It's not four ways to make it so. It's not it. Hallelujah. If something we see tomorrow is the fact that I'm only doing that, you know, I'm making those people wind up and move and see somehow. No, sorry. But what we see tomorrow is that there will be a repetition. What are you going to do? Ah, it's part of it. You will have repetition. Some things will be repeated like 1,000,000 times. That is for spiritual growth. What about this? Ah, you can't run away from it. Glory to God. Amen. There will be repetition. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it is very, very important. So we said God wants us to know him and know him rightly. Can we say that? Aha. You know, some people know God as God is my battle axe, rain of fire. Pastor Dixon's new ministry. battle axe, rain of fire ministry. It looks like rain of fire. Right, Pastor Garuba is just battle axe, tongues of fire. Glory to God. Just by the side. So God wants us to know him rightly. Glory to God. God wants us to know him rightly. Have you seen some people, they say, I cannot have a God who cannot deal with my enemies. How does God deal with your enemies? Oh, we look at it from another side. That's true. Can't stop a God who can't deal with your enemies. What does God do to your enemies? He loves them. That's how he deals with them. Hallelujah. Well, how about that? He loves them and wants them in. Come on. Is that not the right deal? You know, I can't stop a God who can't kill my enemies. Oh, there you make it wrong. Amen? You know God wrongly. Go. So God wants to be known rightly. Oh, yeah, follow me. Eh? Because you know Jesus to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? So he uses, so we use that word aletheia, is used for Christ. So that means scriptures will be understood in Christ. Something, this is what I'm looking at today. Hallelujah. You want that? So let's go ahead. So we said God wants us to know him rightly. So why would you want to know him? Or why does he want us to know him? First of all, something you need to see in Colossians 3 verse 10. Get through to Colossians 3 10. Colossians 3. Verse 10. You see there I read. It says, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So it tells you how the believer, the new man, or put it this way, the believer is in the new birth, right? Right? Now, the believer in the new birth has received the Spirit, right? Right? And he says it's renewed in knowledge. So we've received, remember I told you all of the leadings of God is in the Spirit, right? They're in our teaching, right? All of God's leading is in the Spirit. Now that means the Spirit of God was received has the all-knowing knowledge of God. Hallelujah! Hope you know that. We have all the all-knowing knowledge of God in our spirit. But you know what? Our mind needs to know God. How do I follow you that? And how does our mind know God? Through the written word. Hallelujah. The written word is information in the spirit made available for the mind to comprehend. Glory to God. Amen. Though it is coming from the scriptures, like it looks as if it's coming from outward in, because he is reading the scripture, but actually that revelation from the scripture is inward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's called revelation because it's from the Spirit. Something I wanted you to just want you to see. So our spirit is renewed, right? But our minds need to know him, as I've said. So Paul will write that our minds be enlightened. Ephesians 1:17. Paul says Paul's prayer is for the minds to be enlightened. Ephesians 1:17. So that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, or put wisdom of the Spirit, right? Which is revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that word being flooded with light. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. In Colossians 1:9, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, did also pray for the desire that you may be filled with knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I want you to see that also. Hallelujah. So the focus is in our minds. In Philippians 1:9, it says, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things which are excellent, that they be sincere without offense to the day of Christ. When he uses the word judgment, right? When he uses the word judgment, it has to do with the application of your mind. Hope you're following me. With the application of your mind. So, when he was done praying for them like this, what did he do? He will give them the word, right? He will write the scriptures to them. Because it's the mind that a man needs to function. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. So Paul to Philemon in Philemon 6. Let's look at that again. Philemon 6. It says in Philemon 6 that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acquiring of every good which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, he tells you, he says the communication of your faith will become effectual. Now, what is the communication? It talks about your work, right? Hallelujah. So, we could say that our walk, our believer's walk, is to the degree of our knowledge. Right? So where would the knowledge, where would the knowledge be found? In our minds. Right? So that means the more of God we know, the more we function. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we could say you know these truths based on how you see it reflected in your life. Are you following? So Jesus in Luke 24:45 will now make us see, he said, and he opened he their understanding. Opened, dialogue, opened he their understanding. So when he uses the word dialogue in their understanding, now it shows that what means the word is our minds. Hallelujah. Is our minds. So very important. So teaching becomes very essential for the Christian group in the local church. Teaching becomes very essential. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine. It says, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see that? That the man of God may be furnished. It says, may be complete, total, I say, completely furnished, rather. May be furnished, or totally furnished, or completely furnished for every good work. So very vital there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important. So that means when he uses the word instruction in righteousness, it is for spiritual growth. Paideia. When you find it is in Ephesians 6:4, for the training, used for training. How a man brings up his child, not trust the child. Training. Hebrews 12:5. Chastening. Are you following that? Hallelujah. So that means the greatest need of a believer is not a car. The greatest need of a believer is not a good job. The greatest need of a believer is not a roof over his head. The greatest need of a believer is to know God. Hallelujah. All I put there is knowledge. Is knowledge. And in doing so, or reading through scriptures, Luke will show us how Jesus would interpret the scripture. He will say in Luke 24:27. Get back there. Luke 24:27. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He uses the word expound, diamineo. Hallelujah. It's used for the word how you translate a language, to interpret. Hallelujah. Remember I told us the last session that every believer is an interpreter. What you have as translation, or I will put it this way, every Bible student, not every believer, every Bible student is an interpreter. What you have today as translations are actually interpretations. Hallelujah. Are interpretations. And in interpreting scriptures, we develop two principles, right? For now. What are they? A word will not mean today what never meant when it was written. Right? Right? And also you have to sit in the seat of the first audience when they heard the word. Right? You have to sit in the seat. That principle is very vital. Sit in the seat of the first audience when they heard the word and hear what they heard. And they hear what they heard, I have to go back and understand what was their language. Right? Hallelujah. I have to understand what was their language. What was their mode of communication. I have to take that place of their, I have to take their place. What was happening in their world? What was their world like? Hallelujah. Remember I told you, Genesis is Moses teaching them about God, theology, but was answering pertinent question that was available in their world. Just like Jesus. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Pertinent questions in their world. They were living in they had a near Eastern culture, right? And Moses was answering the question of their world. Hallelujah. And answering the question of the Lord, he will say, God said, let there be light. Something we're going to see shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, in listening, or I said, in sitting in that city, you have to hear what they heard, understand the language of the word. Why is that vital? Why is it vital that I must interpret language? Why? It's very vital. Because I will have to interpret language to accommodate what I call the evolving previously. I was interpreting language because yet language keeps evolving and the truth of God's word remains the same. So the reason why I must interpret language, hallelujah, or I must translate it, glory to God. The word of God remains the same, yet language over time has evolved. Hallelujah. Very vital. That evolved. We saw the last time, Ezra, right? We saw Ezra. Ezra, even though Ezra was still in the same world of Moses, where they spoke Hebrew, because language has evolved, Ezra would have to give a sense to Moses' language. What does it mean to give a sense? He would have to interpret Moses again, because it's over 1,000 years. Okay, follow me. He will still have to interpret God's language as evolved. Right? Glory to God. 50 years back, when you say my old man, you may say, I don't want to see my old man. I say, who is your old man? If any man being Christ is a new creature, right? But today you say, I don't want to see my old man. You will know you want to go and see your dad. Right? Glory to God. But 50 years back, you can't use that word. In fact, just 30 years ago, you can't use the same word. Amen? Glory to God. Amen. 60 years ago, even 30 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, 30 years ago, you can't say, I want to send you an email. So someone said, okay, you hear me, you can't use email. 50 years ago, while I was growing up, 50 years ago, George Bush sent me a mail. Is this 50 years ago? George Bush? Mail? No. Hallelujah. Here we go. Or is it, Jesus sent Peter a tweet. How? Did you get? If you know, it's not true. But you know. Amen. Here we go. Go. Because we have tweets in our day. But the truth of God's word hasn't evolved. It's the same. That means I have to leave what I have in my language and my word today and go back to their world, right? And read it in their word, interpret it in their world. Okay, you hear me? So, I'll put it this way. When you hear the word interpret it in their world, I guess that becomes a bit ambiguous for some of us today. Rather put, allow Bible, allow or put interpret Bible with Bible language. Scriptures are self-sufficient to interpret itself. Are you following me? Amen? So that is interpreting in your world. So interpret it in your world. Interpret scriptures first in its world. Right? And then you cannot apply it in your day to day. Hallelujah. So that means if I wrongly interpret scriptures, I will wrongly apply it. You cannot wrongly interpret scripture and rightly apply it. No. If the interpretation is wrong, automatically the application will be faulty. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go further a bit. So remember I said, when you read scripture, you will see scripture as God's intervention, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
I told us that. Scripture will be God's intervention. You find God's intervention in man's world. Right? So, in seeing it as, or in understanding, or put sitting in the seat of the false audience, I must ask, how did they write? Very important. I just said that now. And why did they write? Answering why and how they wrote will show you why they employ the word that was used. But take note, many times, the reason why they write is for you to see God's intervention. For you to see God's intervention. For example, when I get to Genesis 1:2, and I say, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the water. That will be, you say, that goes into the culture of their day. Hallelujah. The culture of that day. And Moses writes that for you to see that man's heart was darkened. Hallelujah. And it was talking about the culture of their world. Or it was speaking about their world. What was their culture? They had the Near Eastern culture. A patriarchal system. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Women were treated as chattels in their world. Women were treated as though they were put near to nothing or like animals. Chattels. Not just being seen as weak, but seen as a low class. And Moses writes for you to see. Show you the heart of the man without God to be extremely dark. He calls it tohu wabohu. Empty and void. And he says the answer will be God's Spirit. God's Spirit. In the converting of the gospel. He calls it, that's how he puts it. It is, and that was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the waters, right? Through the conversion of the gospel, bringing forth light. It says, let there be light. Did you see that? So if you do not correctly interpret it in their world, you wouldn't be able to apply it in our world today. Seeing God as the answer to man's problem. What are you following me? Glory to God. So when Moses says darkness is upon the surface of the deep, it goes to the core of their world. Hallelujah. The core of their world. And when it says, let there be light, that is the light of the gospel. So that means God's answer to evil is in the gospel. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Amen. In Matthew 19, verses 3, it's something we'll later see, maybe in the next section. Hallelujah. Next section. Matthew 19. From verses 3. Let's read. It says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, if you love for a man to put away his wife for every cause, Jesus answered and said, have you not read? You made them at the beginning, made them male and female. He says, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twine shall be one flesh rather. Wherefore they are no more twine but one flesh. For they twine, verse 5, shall be one flesh. See, one flesh, right? What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. They said to him, why then did Moses give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Now I will say verse 7 will be God's accommodation, right? And I will say it will be seen as what? God's long suffering, right? Come on. Will it be seen as God's intervention? Moses being of divorcement, was it God's intervention? Because in their world, that's why, before you criticize Moses, I say that very often. Some people say, I'm taking defense of Moses. If you say so, to defend Moses is to defend the gospel. Sounds very simple. Hallelujah. Take it as or take it. It's just the truth. So, when Moses says, give her a bill of divorcement. Now that bill of divorcement is not, is God's intervention to the woman. To part of the woman, it's freedom. Why is it freedom? Because in their world, when a man doesn't like, is done with the woman. Eh? It's not they are treated as chattels. They go to the extent of killing the woman. So a bill of divorcement is to say, I don't have to do anything with you again. Just get out. So give you a bill of divorcement. Did you get? Hallelujah. That was in their world. So the woman becomes free. Oh, I will not die anymore. Did you get that? Hallelujah. I've been free from this man. I cannot go and live my life. So the woman is freedom, right? God has intervened in my case. Amen? That was in their world. Moses gave the bill of divorcement. So, no. Jesus wasn't contradicting Moses. So what was Jesus' response? He says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. If something is a rule or is a principle in interpretation that we are now teaching you, that means Moses will now unite his audience with the audience of Moses. Did you see that? Hallelujah. It's something you would do in interpreting scripture. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Moses was able to unite his audience with that of Moses. Jesus was able to unite his audience with that of Moses. Though his audience were not Moses' audience, but they had the same similarity. Are you following me? What was their similarity? They haven't had his heart. So that means Genesis 1-2 will be a hardened heart. Are you following me? Amen? Will be a hardened heart. Very vital. Glory to God. So that means, what was the issue? Unbelief, hardened heart. A darkened heart. Did you see that? A hardened heart, a darkened heart. And he said, from the beginning, it wasn't so. Hallelujah. So what did he do? Jesus referred his audience back to the scriptures. We'll come here shortly. I said in the next session, right? Hallelujah. So why was Jesus able to apply the scriptures to his audience? Because he interpreted it well. Did you see that? You must interpret it well there that you can apply it. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. So that's it. Today we want to answer some questions that are pertinent in our world. We just had something 2 years ago or 3 years. We called COVID-19. Amen? We had COVID-19. Also, we have in our world, we have pandemic. Let me just call, you have pandemic. You have tsunami. Right? You have earthquake. We have floods. You have tsunami. Right? Flood. We have hurricane. They give them the Hurricane Katrina. We have, which one do we have in Nigeria?
We have
monkeypox.
No, I'm talking about epidemic. Okay, today I'm hearing of monkeypox or pox monkey. We have this one that happens to the roof. Erosion. Not phonetic. It's too much heroic movies that's worrying your head. Amen. So the question is, we have those things in our world today, right? Amen? We have natural disasters. And the question is it from God? Some people can go, it's not from God, or you're proving. Actually, during the last COVID-19, a lot of people came out to say things like, God is punishing the earth. God is dealing with man. A lot. Hallelujah. First flight, third flight, tenth flight. We have all those things in our world. A lot of people said a lot of things. Glory to God. But hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what to answer such kind of questions? Does God send these things once in a while to deal with us? Amen? Some people now said, when a man do quarantine, they say, that is the end. They are separating people from their families. Is that not the end? If they are killing them, or that's why they are separating them. The God will not do that. They don't shut churches. And say, nobody should gather in places like that again. They should close down churches. And I went on my social media handle and I wrote, this is best for the church for now. And a pastor attacked me. Seriously. Said, are you checking? If I'm expecting to now show his vexation, because the person was starting out as well, and I to show his vexation. He now did voice low. You see, if I play the voice, where I've deleted it, because I've forgiven him. He had come to his senses though. Voice note was to say, sir, I respected you. How would you support this? How would you support them to be persecuted in the church? This is church persecution. How would they close down the church? I smile. And I say, sir, it's not church persecution. Hallelujah. It's not church persecution. That is what is best for now. I will not have church. Did you see persecution? We know, sir, there is a gathering. They're going to call corporate unction. Don't you believe that the power of God is going to... See. Common sense is important. Hallelujah. Train is coming and you're on railway track. And I said, I have faith in God. I trust the power of God. You keep trusting it in the afterlife. Come on, says it, then you move away. Right? Right? This is the gathering of believers. We are having our church next church service on the railway track. We trust God. That we'll be having the service and train will pass and we'll be invisible. That invisibility will happen in the rest of the spirit. Don't be stupid. Amen? Don't be stupid. Why would you have your church service on the railway? Why would you say that you're on the day you close church for a few weeks, let's cop the virus? And you say no. It's like you're having your church service on the railway. Glory to God. Amen? Glory to God. But it didn't affect us. You know that. As a church, it didn't affect us. We have a lot of messages to listen to. Right? That was when we started having a lot of synoptics. Every day we have messages to listen to. Like we planned for it. Our cell system didn't drop. Right? Do you still have your cell meeting? You had your cell meeting? Right? House to house?
Because they said no lesser than, you shouldn't have gathering more than, is it 10? 10, right? No more than 10. So ourselves, we had it, right? We have teachings every day, every week. Glory to God. So we're prepared for it. Glory to God. But they said no, I was gathering. So, he's excusing the church. We planned for it. Hallelujah. Like we knew, but we never had just beyond looking, right?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. But question is, was this, does God punish people with those things? Or was it God punishing man? We're going to answer it from scripture. No answering to this question, right? But when it happens again, you will not be in the dark. Amen. I didn't want to talk about it all through those periods. If you notice, I didn't talk about it. I said I'm going to answer that question after the pandemic. It's just very simple. Yeah? It's like you don't preach seasonal message. Amen? You are just teaching panic. You are in panic mode. Well, people are talking about end time. Somebody asked, I guess what they asked me, sir. Don't you think, someone asked me, but don't you think you have to re-look at it again, a pastor friend, not a pastor friend. Don't you think you need to reconsider your stance about rapture and don't you think this is a pointless of ministers and you respect the minister that I respect it tomorrow? This is what this person said, this is what this person said, this is what this person said, this is what this person said. And I told him, in 2006, I ministered and I said we are on injury time. Don't you know that message? He said, yes, I heard it. In me, I'm telling you this, don't you think there's there are some other things I've known? Saying, but sir, is the voice of this one is now loud. I said, it can get loud. But it doesn't change the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then this disease will come. Corona will come. It will go. And we'll still be here. When it was dead flu, people said it was the end that was come. Don't you know? We, in Africa, we began to hear of dead flu towards when it has, when dead flu was dead flu. People said, rapture will take place. Some people even predicted year 2000. January 1st, 2000 to be raptured. I know people that sold all their belongings. Sold it! It's raptured. This is 2022. And we are still here.
Amen.
But from Jesus? So let's look at some things. Remember, man without God is in darkness. Right? Man without God is in darkness. What you will see shortly, man without God is self-destruction, self-destructing nature. Man without God is on self-destruction mode.
What about ladies? Man without God is on what?
Self-destruction mode. You know, it is self-destruction mode activated. That is man without God. Amen?
So that is why Paul, Moses will say the earth was without form and void, tohu wabohu,
self-destruction mode. And what is God's intervention? Light. Do you see that? Light in the darkness. That is it. So we will see God's role in all of this. Pandemic, epidemic, right? Flood, tsunamis, hurricane, Katrina, hurricane, Adama, hurricane, Mosaios. Or again, you see God's intervention in it. Hallelujah. Let's see the first flood in the earth. I would like to call it the first tsunami. You know, it's tsunami. Tsunami doesn't happen in all the nations. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tsunami is in the scriptures. Noah had a flood. Tsunami. Don't think of the tsunami. How many degrees? Genesis 6. Let's look at Genesis 6 from verse 9. So somebody said, was it those God that sent, have you not heard people say that? God sent the flood to wipe the earth, right? God wanted to clean the earth. Everybody look up. How many of you believe it was God that sent the flood in Noah's day?
if it was God. Everybody look up. I want to teach what I'm teaching you today. If it was God, hope that thing is on, because I'm taking a lot to say this. Then God is a fraud. So it can't be God. We're going to see. It can't be God. I'm taking a lot to say this. Amen. Hey, sir, what's your word? I have watched it very well. God can't be a fraud now. So God will not send destruction, not provide an ark for people to enter. Is that not fraud? You need to stop saying something. It's irritating. Let's look at Genesis 6. Look at Genesis 9. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. I need you to see this. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Right? Now, and the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth and said, behold, it is was corrupt, and all flesh have corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. Did you see that? For the earth is filled with violence through men, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Hey, God said he will destroy them. Keep quiet. Now, let's see. There was an can we say that there was an impending flood? An impending flood. Right? Right? And in verse 13, God says, the end of all flesh is come before me. So God is speaking ahead concerning the flood. Right? Right? Aha. So, what did God do? We know the story. God provided a protection. Right? But let's observe something. God provided a protection through Noah. Take note of that. God provided protection to Noah. See, mark it down in capital letter. Because we are going to see that. That will be science. That will be discovery. Okay, that will be God's wisdom in science. Something we'll see. Now let's go. Let's observe something. What was the word that was so much in this verses we read? Corrupt. The earth was corrupt, right? Verse 11, the earth was corrupt before God. It's the same word, right? Corrupt. And God looked upon the earth, for it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Did you see that? Right? And it says, the end of all things is come before me. Now, look at that word corrupt. It's the word in the Hebrew, shashash. S-H-A-C-H-A-C-H. Shashash. Or pushakas, it implies to spoil, to destroy, to waste. Hallelujah. So that is the word shakas. It implies to spoil, to destroy, to waste. Now, stay. To destroy, to waste, to spoil, destroy, to waste. So when he says the earth was destroyed before God, did you see that? The earth, and the earth was filled with violence. That is the explanation. The earth was destroyed because it was filled with what? Violence. Did you see that? And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Did you see that? It was being destroyed. It was being spoiled. Did you see that? So who was spoiling the earth? Man. Something we're going to see about nature. When we get to talk the same today, we're going to see something about nature. That nature always responds back. So who was destroying the earth? Man. Was he God? It wasn't God. So the destruction of the earth was not God. It is man-made. That means the flood was man-made. What is God say? The end of the earth is before me. And when you talk about the earth, I'm talking about men. I remember I told you before now that the flood never happened in the whole earth. It's actually around it. It was like when you call tsunami never happened in the whole earth. Flood never happened in the whole earth. Ever. Right? It was this concentrated area. Right? Right?
Amen. Be looking up at this stuff. You're ready? Amen. Glory to God. So if you listen to more of our messages, I guess I've seen that a bit. But we'll still look at it shortly. Hallelujah. Now, so that will show you that what happened as flood will be caused by man's rebellion, man's violence. Right? And remember we said man without God is on a self-destruct motion, right? Man without God is on a self-destruct motion or put mission. In verse 13, when he now says, look at that verse 13, when he says, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I wonder why it took a long time for people to see this. But that word I will is italicized. It's not in the original. So the interpreters, come on, the translator had that bias to use that word, to put the word I will. But God never said he will be the one to destroy the earth. What you have to know, God never said he was going to destroy the earth. It was the translators that used put the word I will. God never used that. Hallelujah. But rather, God told what God was telling Noah is that man's violence would destroy the earth. Okay, following. Hallelujah. He said the earth will be violence through men and will destroy them with the earth. Did you see that? So it wasn't God that would destroy them. It is their violence that would destroy the earth. So God then sent the flood. Hope you are reading your Bibles with me. Hallelujah. God did send the flood. Rather, man's violence and corruption will destroy them and everything in the earth. That's what God was saying to Noah. Hallelujah. Hope you are seeing that.
Amen.
How many of you your Bibles was italicized? Huh? Okay. Was it? But in the original, it wasn't there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It wasn't there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In fact, what you have there in the Hebrew, which I should read. Let me read it out from the Hebrew.
What's the hub?
My strong. Yeah.
Okay.
From the Strong Bible. Sorry. I pray you'll be able to read. Where? Genesis 9? Okay. Okay. I read in Genesis 6:13. Okay. For the earth is filled with violence, right? That word violence is the word kama. Is actually the word in the Hebrew. Is the word in the Hebrew kamas panihim, kamas panihim, shakat, sorry, I take that again. Is the word in the Hebrew, I did Greek, kamas panihim, shakat, et eret, kamas panihim shakat et eret. That is the word violence, their violence will destroy them with the earth. You see that? It's not God. You didn't see any word for I am or I be. No. It says violence. I just read a portion of it. Hallelujah. It means violence will destroy them and the earth. Nothing about God was written. Did he say anything called Yahweh, Adonai, I am? No. You see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not like I am there. No. Not I am or I will. No. So it has nothing to do with God. Glory to God. So he's saying that their violence will destroy them. So, very important that you see that. God wasn't involved in the flood. Not at all would you find God involved in the flood. God didn't cause the flood. God didn't make it happen. Did you see that? Amen? God didn't cause the flood. God wasn't involved in the flood. Rather, it was man's action that brought about the flood. Do you see that? Okay, follow me. So, he asked, what about the flood? God wanted to show salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. No, God wasn't trying to show anything. Eh? Amen? So, you know, God made the flood to happen. God permitted. Have you heard people say God permitted it? No. Amen? Man's action brought the flood. Amen? So, what brought the flood? Man's action. So, what is God's rule? God's role in all of this is to save man through the ark. Did you see that? So God quickly did what? God through Noah was to make what? An escape route. Right? So it was deliverance, it was salvation, and it will be carried out through man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God will not send a flood, rather he will require a man. Rather, God will require men to come into the ark. The reason why Noah will now go and preach, right? And tell them about the ark. Noah is God's prophet, right? He will preach to them of God's salvation, tell them about the impending danger, right? Because it's a way of it before time, and will show them the answer in the ark. So, God will want to deliver man. And there's a flood coming, but this ark will be God's deliverance. Did you see that? Just like Moses, Noah will do the same thing. The ark will now prefigure God's deliverance. Hallelujah. But what was it God that caused the flood? No. So their unbelief to God will now be demonstrated in the fact that they would not come into the ark. Hope you are following that. That is just glory to God. Amen? So the flood wasn't God. Hallelujah. How do you follow me? Okay. So we said, God will not send the flood and they now require men to come into the ark. And I told you that would be fraud. And God can do that. Hallelujah. His fraud caused flood. So God will not cause a problem. Bah! Everyone will not be in panic. We will not say, come on to me. Come on to me, I will help you, I will save you. Come on. God doesn't do that. So God is not involved in natural disaster. Amen? Amen? So God sees the flood and provides an escape route through the ark. So the flood will be like today, a normal water flood, or you call it sometimes, because of the nature of that flood that was able to kill men, scatter belongings, it could actually be equated to a tsunami or Putin hurricane, something like that. I'm not a scientist, but something around that. And God's response is, if you look at it today, what will be God's response today? What will be the ark today? The ark will be free from the plague, right? Right? So most times when they want, there will be a flood, people should evacuate that place. That will be God's response today. Leave the plague. That will be the ark. Hope you are following me. Amen. Leave the place. Leave from the place. That will be the ark. Go away from that location. They say it a lot of times. I remember the time of hurricane. They told everybody to leave. I started announcing the hurricane like some weeks that there will be an hurricane. This magnitude, that magnitude. People should flee. And at the point when there was hurricane, there was nobody there. That's how people got their life saved. Go and sit down and say, I serve a God that's just, I serve a God. Nothing. Stay there. Stay there. Amen. It's not a denial of God's power, but come on. God provided an ark. That's God's provision. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. That's God's provision. God's provision is the ark. Glory to God. Amen. In Numbers 21, they had an epidemic. Like you have an epidemic called, sometimes you can have epidemics like cholera, right? Cholera. They had an epidemic in Numbers 21. And in that epidemic, the epidemic was snake bites. Amen? They were bitten off by snakes. And several people died in verses. And people came to Moses and they said, they've sinned. They were spoken against God. I prayed, they tell God to take away this happened. They felt, and it happens in our world today. People will think that because something bad is happening around them, they will think it's because of their, they will think it's God punishing them. You see, that kind of mindset did not just start today. That started from Bible day, from Genesis. Did you see that? Can you see that? They thought it was God. They said, tell God to take away this serpent. Tell God, we know Nigeria has sinned. We know. We know. Have you heard me say that? During Ebola, let me not go there. Let me not talk about Ebola today. Amen. They said, we know. This is why Ebola dealt with them, because they believed that sister, whatever. When we're talking about prophet and pastor, so God struck them with Ebola. Interesting. God struck them. Many people believe that, it was God that was dealing with them for accepting that false news about some men of God. In our case, that news was very false. But yet, you can't say God would deal with people with sickness. Or you can say God killed the man. How can you say that word? It was just like what I showed us in Acts of Apostles chapter 12, that they believed that it was an angel of God that killed Herod. Like he gave God not the glory. You get people believe. But people's belief is not what you look at. You look at the scriptures. Hallelujah. So they felt God was dealing with them with the serpent. Interesting. Hallelujah. But what was God's response in verses 8? God's response was deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. God's response was deliverance. God has to deliver them. Glory to God. Provision of deliverance. So there will not be a brass serpent. As men as look unto it, right? To see that in the resurrection, what Moses just did was to prefigure what Christ will do. That our problem, their issue is not the bite. Their issue is what? Unbelief. And in the resurrection, unbelief will be nailed to the cross. So as men as look at the cross, as look at the brazen serpent, we're healed. So God's provision of deliverance, right? Is that healing power? Glory to God. That's just it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means in the midst of epidemic, God's provision will be seen. You will see God's provision. Hallelujah. In the days of Moses still, they had also another epidemic. There was an outbreak of a contagious disease. This one, that of the snake bite was a snake bite, right? And not snake bite like Ronaldinho. Snake bite, snake bite. Hallelujah. See, right? You know to go into. Now, they had another outbreak. This one was contagious. And it's called leprosy. They have leprosy. In the days of Moses. Look at Leviticus chapter 13. They have leprosy. Leviticus 13. Amen. Leviticus 13. Are you there? Well, this is 45. what you call leprosy. And it was contagious, infectious. Now he said, and the leper in whom the plague is, you know, you can read from verses 1, but I just took out some verses for you to see. Right? He said, the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bald, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. And the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. Did you see that? He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Did you see that? Without the camp shall his habitation be without the camp. What are you following? Hallelujah. So when he says without the camp, what does he mean? Is that quarantine? He shall be quarantined. Hallelujah. Quarantine, in fact, not the quarantine that will be quarantined in ICU. You will be quarantined outside the city. They will take you out. Amen? You shall be there alone. Alone. That is the word. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, quarantine didn't just start yesterday. It didn't start from noon. Amen? God said, you shall be quarantined. You shall be kept outside. In verse 50, I'm just trying to take out some verses. In verse 50, it now says, after a while, it now says, the priest shall look upon the plague and shall shut it in. That is when you see, when you begin to feel you are fine. You not just because you feel you are fine, you not enter into the system. No, you go and meet the priest. So the priest will carry out HCDC check on you. Amen? They will test you again. Amen? Just like you are doing COVID test again to see if you still have the plague. Amen. Isn't God wonderful? I said the priest shall look upon the plague and shall shut it up. Amen. I shall shut up it. And I mean that had the plague 7 days. So you will do, we are going to test you, we're going to check you out for what? 7 days. So we will test you, the results will be out in 7 days. So you will still be shut up. Amen? And we shall look upon the plague on the 7th day. If the plague is spread on the garment, either in a wrap or in the wood or in a skin or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is treating leprosy. It is what? Unclean. He shall therefore burn the garments, whether wrap or wood or woolen or linen or anything of skin, therein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, and it shall be burnt in fire. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague is not spread on the garment, either in the wrap or in the wood or in any of the skin, the priest shall command that they wash the thing therein the plague is, and shall shut him up 7 days. So do what? Want to reconfirm again. Amen? We have to reconfirm. And the priest shall look on the plague after it is washed, and behold, if the plague has not changed his color, and the plague is not spread, it is unclean, and thou shalt burn it in the fire, and in the fret inward, whether it bear within or without. And if the priest look, and behold, the plague is somewhat dark after the washing of it, you shall rend it out the garment, or out the skin, or out of the wrap, or of the wolf. And if it appears still in the garment, either in the wrap, or in wolf, or in any of, or anything of skin, it is a spreading plague. And thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either wrap or wolf, or whatsoever tail of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from them, it shall be washed the second time and shall be clean. Did you see that? This is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen, either in a wrap or wool or any skin, it is pronounced clean or it's pronounced it unclean. Did you see that? So the person will present himself in front of, I wrote in my book, NCDC, the priest. Amen? Who is the priest? To certify whether he is clean or unclean. So that means God is not against isolation. What does that mean? God is not against isolation. Amen? But does that mean you don't believe the power of God? No. That's just simple, common sense. Look at Jesus. Jesus healed leprosy, right? Showing you that God heals leprosy. Right? But God has stated this is how it should be done. When Jesus was done healing the leprosy guy, what did he tell the guy to do? To who? The priest. Who is the priest? For Moses. NCDC. Go and show yourself to NCDC. So God is not against science. That's what I'm trying to let you know. Amen? Go show yourself to the priest. The priest will satisfy you, okay. Right? Then you cannot live amongst the people. So it's simple. Amen? Go to God. So that is God. Go to God. So God is not against science. So, this, God is not against it. Amen? God made a man make an ark. Go to God. God made a man make an ark. That could be vaccine, you know. Go to God. Could be vaccine. The brazen serpent could be vaccine. Lord of God, it doesn't mean there is God's power is not available. God's power is always available. We'll see miracle signs and wonders all through scriptures. Right? But still, you still need to follow your common sense. Follow lay down principles. Just very simple. Lord of God, the power of God is not against science. I've always told you. The power of God is not against taking your drugs. No. Amen? The power of God is not against you seeing your doctor. I'm healed. You go to the doctor. It's not unbelief. You go to the doctor. Don't satisfy you. Ah, I'm fine. Yeah, you go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One thing we're going to see shortly. Maybe in the next section. Hallelujah. Amen. Is God against... What about vaccine? What about medicine? Look at Jeremiah 8. Read Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8, yeah. Is it God himself? Look at what God did. Jeremiah 8. Amen. Verses 19. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in the far country. Is not the Lord God, and is not the Lord in Zion, is not her king in her, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven image and with strange vanity? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the heart of the daughter of my people, I am hot. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me. Now said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? You see that? Hallelujah. It goes down to the balm of Gilead. Now that word balm, mostly in scripture is used in relation to Gilead. It's used in relation to Gilead. Let's look at something before we get straight up to how Jeremiah and Ezekiel was using. Look at it in Genesis 37. The use of the word balm. Genesis 37. Genesis 37, are you there? Verse 25. Okay. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites, right? A couple of Ishmaelites came from Gilead. Did you see that? With their camels bearing spices and balm. Did you see that? and now going to carry it down to where? To where? So what did they carry? Balm. Medication. So they traveled all the way to go and get medicine. Balm. We're going to see the meaning of balm. What balm is used for? Hallelujah. They traveled all the way from Egypt to Gilead for balm. Hallelujah. In chapter 43, verse 11, let's look at it. Chapter 43, verse 11. And the father said, and the father Israel, which is Jacob, said unto them, if it must be so now, to take, to this, take the best fruit in the land, in your vessel, carry down the men a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and nard nuts and almonds. You know that? So balm actually in their world is used in relation to curative and preservative purpose. In their world. Hallelujah. It is for both curative and preservative purpose. Just the way you have medicine and vaccine. What are you hearing me? So we get to Jeremiah 46, verse 11. Amen. And this is like a judgment for yesterday. He says, but it makes you see what Gilead, what you have in Gilead. He says, go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shall thou use many medicines, but thou shalt not be cured. Did you see that? Amen. But what would you find in Gilead? Balm. And it is medication. Did you see that? In chapter 51, verse 8. What are you following me here? He said, Babylon is suddenly falling and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. Did you see that? Balm. Balm is used for curative and preservative purpose. Ezekiel 2, find it again. Ezekiel 27, verse 17. Balm. Hallelujah. So God wasn't against medicine. Did you see that? Was God against medicine? No, God wasn't against medicine. Right? Hallelujah. Wasn't against medicine. In fact, in Mark 6 verse 13, Jesus' disciples used medicine for healing. Look at Mark 6 verse 13. Jesus sent them out to preach. And when they went out and preached, that men should repent. Did you see that? They went to preach. On a time like that, I will not call the name of the people, but I feel like calling their name because I said I was a bit too glad. How many of you have heard of Navigator? So I have a friend, you see my friend, who was part of us in school, a minister in school. So she was a member of Navigator. So one day they went to a certain location and they came back. Navigators, they are into outreach. So we went to do outreach. They came back, said, someone telling me how the outreach went, how numbers of diseases, sicknesses, what happened. So she now said, they are medical team. I said, which medical team? Said, no. Where is medical team? They carry drugs. I said, drugs? What's wrong with you? How do you go to drugs? How do you believe the power of God? He said, no, sir. I don't know. He said, in fact, I'm not joining. He said, can't be going for outreach. There's power in our hands. Because I'm teaching them, you can't teach them. Can't go out there. In ministered to. Didn't they have healing? They did. I didn't even know the healing that she was telling me that they had. That was then in common trust. But the woman, she now told me that they went with this stuff that they used to check BP, BP medicine, and then got angry. So why? Their medical team. What medical team? And she just told me how unbelievers got saved. People that were having jars, that were doing ritual, God saved. I didn't listen to that. I'm like, why are you going on? I was just so sentimental. Amen. Amen. Well, today I want to say that. Hope you know that. I want to say that. I want to say something like that. Glory to God. Your God is actually not against the use of drugs. Jesus' people went to drugs. But the letter knew how to go for outreach without drugs. Right? But they went to drugs. Look at verse 13, and they cast out many devils. Did they cast out devils? And anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now when you use the word anointed with oil, now oil, as we're going to see shortly, will be used as medicinal. Will be used for medicine in their world. So listen to this. They didn't mean that they didn't minister healing. No. They ministered healing and still use oil. And the use of oil is not because of unbelief, no. Hallelujah. Amen? It's not because of unbelief, no. God. So the fact that you are born again doesn't mean you can't use medicine, you can't use drugs. But your first emphasis shouldn't be drugs. Your faith shouldn't be on drugs, but rather on the power of God. Amen? It should be on God's power. Your first emphasis. Cannot go away this morning, give me drugs. Don't trust the power of God. Now, friends, because they know I'm not taking drugs, I'll be fine. Hallelujah. You trust God's power more. Glory to God. Because God's power is where the healing is. Glory to God. Look at Jesus in Luke 10. The use of oil, right? Luke 10. Jesus gave a parable in Luke 10 verse 34 about the Samaritan. The Samaritan who saw the guy that was half dead by the way. Verse 33. But the Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him and had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wound. How did he bound his wound? He said, pouring oil and wine and set him on his beast. Owned this and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So he poured oil and wine. That means oil is used for healing. What we are following? Oil is used for what? Healing. Oil is for healing. So if you read James 5:14. What are you following me? So say, yeah. God does not support taking drugs. James 5:14. Glory to God. James 5:14. He said, "Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God is not against the use of drugs when one is sick. But don't be overly dependent on drugs. Rather, your faith should be on the power of God. Hallelujah. What are you following this?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. own. So God doesn't fight the use of drugs, no. So also, with the recent corona, we could say that it was not God, right? It's not God. Or man-made. But what is God's wisdom? Is to inspire men to formulate vaccine. Amen? That is just it. Many people who are shouting, don't take vaccine, it's devilish. But they took, they want to travel outside Nigeria, they will take yellow vaccine. That one is not Antichrist. It's vaccine. For corona is Antichrist. No. Amen. Glory to God. So it's just simple. God doesn't cause flood, doesn't cause pandemic, epidemic. They are all man-made. Remember I would say, if I for corona, we know where it came from. Say you know. You know we can point to the lab where corona came from. Say you know. That is, this is the lab. This is where corona came from. Eh? Hallelujah. So it's not made, it's not man, it's not God made, it's man made. Remember I told you, man outside God is on a self-destruct mission. Glory to God. He's on a self-destruct mission. He doesn't know it, but that is where man is headed for. Glory to God. It's an experiment from the lab. Glory to God. Amen. So, very important. So, there are three questions in our world. Another question we want to answer is, you know, sometimes like the issue of smoking, and it's not in the scriptures, want to answer another question. The question I'm answering is, some people will say, this doesn't exist, it's not found in the Bible categorically. Very untrue, because it is clear in scriptures, is the issue of transgender and homosexuality. Hallelujah. You know, we live in a world today where people are now transgendering themselves. Eh? Amen. In the world, there's a name for it, but I don't want to call the name. Amen. People in Nigeria, you know, when you get transgender, a name comes to mind. And homosexuality. You know, people have argued, there is no direct place in the Bible. Don't you have freedom of choice? Don't you have freedom of expression? Is it not my one? Is it not my body? But we're going to answer it from scriptures. We'll start off today, and we will take the last leg the next time we meet. Necessarily, maybe by next month. I mean, maybe by next month. Hallelujah. Just run it up next month. Transgender. Let's define the terms. Hallelujah.
I find it a rush to do it. This message will be out to the world. And I come on next day.
Amen. 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 So definition of sense, let's define some sense. Homosexuality. What is homosexuality? From the English dictionary, is a state of being sexually attracted primarily and exclusively to a person of the same sex. Is a state of being sexually attracted primarily or exclusively to persons of the same sex. I've heard someone say, I am born again. I will not tell you. That is, I got angry. That was years back. She was telling me that the lady said when she was growing up, she felt she's a man in a woman's body. That is demonic. She felt. People are now being asked, boy, what nonsense is that? Tomboy, I'm a tomboy. Only tomboy, a cowboy. Nonsense. A lady is a lady properly. a man is a man proper. Don't say I'm a man, but I feel I am a man. I'm a woman in a man's body. You just have what is called a hormonal deficiency. Doesn't mean you are a man, a woman in a man's body. Being stupid. Amen. See, I mean, yes. Have you not seen guys that dress like women before? I see a guy that grew up playing tente. And a guy don't play tente. He don't try. He a woman rapper. And he said, no, I just stop you. Get irritated and pissed off like that. When you have hormonal deficiency, right? Just some hormonal little deficiency, and you are still a man. You are still a man. Your parents discipline you when you're small. You know you're a man. Stop talking nonsense. Wrong time. Amen. We're going to answer that question. Are people born homosexual? Answer that question with by saying, are people born to? Let's continue, John. Some people are even, it's so painful, some people are even legalizing it. Now if you don't join men and men in your church, you face the course of the law. It's not only law. Well, so those who join in the church, hallelujah. Adi? Did they do joining in the church? Did they do joining in the church? Yes, I did my own in church, but it's wrong. They don't join in church. Go and look for churches where they join. As Pastor this year, we'll take you to a church where they join. Do you do quarter and join in? No, sir. Hallelujah. Amen? Okay. I wear black clothes. That's why I didn't wear black. For some purpose, for some point. I wear black. Then, that should be white. I wear gold. The feet of heaven are made of gold. How about that? Let's start doctrine. Oh my nonsense. Please, let's continue. We are not planning to wear black. Okay, it's referred to sexual activities between persons of same sex, right? Like male and male. Adam and Martin. That would mean male and male. Female and female. Therefore, an homosexual person is one who practices homosexuality, right? Another thing you have is transgender. Transgender, let's define that. Transgender is having a gender identity which is different from the sex one was assigned at birth. Having a gender identity different from the sex you had at birth. For example, at birth you are a male, but you now have a female identity or female gender, or a female at birth having a male gender, or there's one they now call you are non-binary. Have you seen that? Non-binary. Like now they now put male, female, or non-binary. Non-binary means you have both male and you are both male and female. Transgender refers to the changing one's genital identity from male to female or female to male, or you are identified with the two elements of both male and female. And how will they do that? A transgender will go through scientific technology called surgery to be able to assign himself or herself with such different gender. as opposed to what he or she was born with. Hallelujah. So let's tackle it head on. Hallelujah. So when we look at it from scripture, let's look at it from what ethics. Natural. Nature itself. In as much as see, the fact that some people, you know, that there's a corner called gay community. People don't have gay community. They are like, hey, it's not been accepted all over the world. So it might not be ethically wrong, no. In as much as you don't determine what is ethically wrong or not. Nature does. I don't know a community of bandits, community of Boko Haram people, I don't know community of thieves, community of sex workers. Does that make it ethically correct? No. Talking about now, from generations to generations, right? From different generations, different tribes, different languages see such practice as unethical. They've upheld it as being unethical. Right? Hallelujah. So it's just normal. So now, nature itself shows us what is ethics. Ethics. Nature shows us ethics. A man doesn't determine the ethics. Nature shows over ethics. Right? Glory to God. There's no way you can justify it by any standard that a man should get married to a 3-year-old child. Is that ethical? It's not ethical. Hallelujah. There's no way you can justify it that a little child of 3 years old should get married to a man that is of 50, or a man of 50 sleeping, or even a man of 30, of 18, sleeping with a child of less than 18. No matter the concept, it's unethical. Right? Right? So, the act of homosexuality on all fronts of life, biological, philosophical, psychological, physiological, is unethical. Very unethical. Hallelujah. Because these fields I just mentioned, biological, physiological, will tell you that the makeup for reproduction is male and female. Not male and male, but female and female. Hallelujah. From Pastor Shevin on the topic, excuse me, Pastor, I have a question. He says, biologically and psychologically, they agree that there are two kinds of men, male and female, and that homosexuality is unethical. That marriage is between two different entities, male and female, and they must agree. Once they are not agreeing, it is not called marriage. It can be between a male and a male, or a female and a female. What are you saying? Marriage can't be. Remember, the ones who hold their visa, they should hold it. I'll preach and say the truth. Marriage can't be between male and male. It can't be between female and female. It's unethical and it's wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. First of all, let's look at this. Homosexuality is not a sin because we are seeing it in the scriptures. Right? Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. Not a sin because you are just basing it on scripture. I said evil nature treats it as unethical. This is not even, we are not yet seeing it on scriptures. You know that some people say it's because you call it sin, Christians call it sin because they are intolerant. That we are not tolerant with them. No. Even nature calls it sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are just being ethical here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because it should be between you and sin. So recently, because of the pushback, especially from the church community, that it's reproduction. No, some people, because of the point in which some people argued it from. I hope you are hearing me. People argued it from a point of marriage or is male and female for reproduction's sake. You get me? Yeah? It's for reproduction's sake. So you can't say it's male and female and female. Where is reproduction? So they argued it from the standpoint of reproduction, and science now said, okay, we can implant reproductive system in the man by bioengineering. We can implant an egg into a man and give the man a womb to bear children. And also implant spermatozoa in the woman to make her be able to produce sperm to impregnate another woman. So they said they can do it by bioengineering. So if they are able to do this, does that now make it correct? Now that is the pushback they are giving to the church world. The people that argue it on the standpoint of reproduction. Amen? See, that is why teaching. But I said it as we began, so that you see why I had to say teaching. When you have to teach scripture, you have to teach it holistically. You don't argue from just a standpoint. No, you have to teach scripture from the beginning. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. The reason for man and woman is you have reputation as one of it, but you can't argue that alone from that standpoint. Glory to God. When science is already talking about cloning, and already cloning people. Does it make planet cloning okay? No! Glory to God. Remember, something you must have at the back of your mind is man without God is on a self-destruct motion. Right? Self-destruct. Autopilot of destruction. And he doesn't know. That is what he's doing to himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But doing that doesn't still make it ethical. How? Implanting the reproductive system into the male. Or vice versa to the women. To the female. It doesn't make it ethical. Why? In doing that, it will imply you have altered or have to alter a man to give him a womb, which itself is ethical, right? And it's against nature. Sometimes what we will see is that nature will always fight back. We're getting there. Nature will always push back. It's not like today. I told someone recently that I don't think if I have money, I will take my money and go and buy a house in some places in Lagos. I don't want to call a name because before some people will say I'm pushing against their party. I'm not pushing, you see how I am. Hallelujah. Some people are San Wokoko in this place. Amen? So, I can't. Why? You push nature away. When it will come back, you come at flood. It is swimming to your house. People fight back. Amen? See that? Someone was saying something. But, Hallelujah. So in doing that, you have to alter a man, which is against in himself, is against nature. Amen? It's against nature. And you know that. Okay, let me not say that one. This one is different. Hallelujah. Take for instance, you are planting egg or sperm into a 3-year-old child. Is that ethical? A 3-year-old male. Is that ethical? Say, I want to have the first 3-year-old lady, a 3-year-old child that is a lady getting pregnant. I want to beat Guinness World Book of Records. I now implant a womb before time on into the child. That will be unethical. Because that child has not developed. Okay, so lady, that would be very unethical. So, the same way I told you that cloning too is unethical. This is science, it's unethical. Hallelujah. Because it is not original. Hallelujah. I am altering nature. Look at a word from Pastor Shagun Obi on that same book. Excuse me, Pastor, I have a question. I recommend you read that book. Very important. Now, a deeper look is the greenhouse effect. Have you ever heard of the greenhouse effect? Yeah, the greenhouse effect. Or the climate change. You know, climate change. Which is caused by who? Is it God? So the climate is changing. God, you know, everything is changing. God is changing things. Look at your mouth. It's man. Climate change is man caused. You don't know. Every day you are releasing molecules now. I'm accounting. So those of you that are science or understand your pastor. Eh? In your head, you align it. You say it's gaseous, yes, no, it's molecules. Thank you, Jesus. You are emitting gaseous elements into the sky. And science will say it is destroying the ozone layer, right? I will know ozone layer by any means because I was called one time in school, ozone man, they call me ozone layer. I will never forget ozone layer. So they say it's affecting the ozone layer, causing a climate, whatever. Who did it? For who did it? Man. Right? Is it good? So, some people said some other things, but it's man. Hallelujah. So climate change is caused by man's practice and is altering nature seriously. Eh? And it's coming back to haunt them. There's a place they call Iceland. How many of you have heard of that? Iceland. Not Iceland as a country. They call that place. Permit me. Iceland that I think it's Africa, but I did not say that the weather condition is minus whatever. The weather condition is severely cold that blocks are formed on the rocks or whatever. So in recent times, there was now a warning because there was not a warning about people going to break the ice and picking it out and things like that. So there was not a warning that you're going to cause a global whatever warming around the world that people should solve. I didn't really pay attention to it that year. It's been a while. But there was that warning. There was warning as regards a lot of... In fact, before this climate change we're experiencing our world today, there's been warnings before now. As regards the ozone layer being altered, gaseous elements, people should stop burning bushes, people should stop emitting gaseous stuff into the air, start planting trees, rather than... So those things are nature. You understand me? So climate change is not God. Climate change is man. What about the lady? climate changes man. So the same way man alters nature and nature fights back, the same way too, you can alter nature and think it is ethical. It can't be ethical. Amen? Man, you are supposed to have broad chest, six pack, you are thinking of how to have a breast. Do you know man? Yes, ma'am. Because sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, people normal in this world. I feel like just catching them like this, beating them to pulp. Because it's funny. Yeah? I feel like people say, it's my choice. It's my choice. Is it your body? People say that. Is it not my choice to either be straight or homosexual? It is not about choice. The question is this ethical? It's not about your choice. It is not about your choice. Don't do your choice in your campaigning, your election, not on things that are ethical or unethical. What are you hearing me? It is my choice to be a thief. When you get the reward of a thief, you know it is not ethical. Come ask those who are caught stealing. It's my choice. Continue. Amen? Amen? Can we read from scriptures to see, you know, we just talk about nature, right? And we see from nature is not ethical. Now let's see scriptures. Okay, let's go to scriptures. First Corinthians. Let's see how Paul will do this. Paul, Moses, and we'll come back to Paul, yeah. Paul, the Moses, back to Paul, and we will write down for today. Let's see that quickly. 1 Corinthians 6. Yeah. Okay, verses 18. It is free fornication. Did you see that? Everything that a man does outside the body, I mean, blood is outside the body, but he that committed fornication sins against his own body. Don't you know that you are the body, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, ye are not your own. Hallelujah. So, when you use the word fornication, that word fornication implies to indulge in an unlawful act of sex. Is the word poinia. It is used both figuratively and literally. Figuratively, you find it in Acts of Apostles chapter 15 verse 24. Acts of Apostles 15 verse 24. It says, for as much as we've heard that certain which went out from among us trouble you with words, subverting your soul, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom from verse 20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornications and from 15 and from things strangled and from blood. Did you see that, Scott? Fornication. And he used them figuratively for idol worship. Now verses 29. Yet abstain from meat over to idol and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourself, ye do well, fare ye well. Hallelujah. He calls things strangled, idol worship, he calls that is fornication. Amen? Chapter 21 verse 25, Acts 21, 25. Amen. 25. It says, for as touching Gentiles, which believe, we have written and concluded that they have observed no such thing, save that they only keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from strangled and from fornication. Did you see that? Amen. In Revelation 2:18 down to 21, Revelation 17:1-2, Revelation 18:3, Revelation 18:9 is used to refer
I'll take that again. Revelation 2, 18 to 21, Revelation 17, 1 and 2, Revelation 18, 3, and Revelation 18, 9. It used to refer to a spiritual reality which is in the worship of idols. As I've been saying, or idolatry. 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 In 1 Corinthians 10:19, Paul warns against idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 19. He says, "What then? What say I then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered is sacrificed to an idol is anything?" This is what he speaks about idol. Is the word. I mean, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or what is offered is sacrificed to idol anything? But I say this thing, which the Gentile offer the sacrifice. I mean, this is Gentile sacrifice, the sacrifice of devils, and also God. So he's referring to idol worship. So Paul wrote about idol worship the same way John, in 1 John 5:21, about idol. In 1 Corinthians 6, he will say, verses 19, what we read, is this flee fornication. Why? Because your body is the temple of the living God, right? In 2 Corinthians 6:16, look at what it says there. It says, I will come over to it. It says, "And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has the believer, he that believeth with infidel?" It says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" Did you see that? So he calls the believer the temple of God. He calls the unbelievers idols. For ye are the temple of the living God, right? God has said, "I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they will be my people." So he calls the believers the temple of God. He calls the unbelievers what? Idols. Right? Hallelujah. So when he uses the word idols, he's not actually referring to a graven image or shango or a kenga, no, or the one in Taraba, no. Hallelujah. Rather, idol here is referring to self. You can put it this way, in the new birth, right? You can put it this way, in the new birth, or put the new birth causes us naturally to serve the Lord, right? Because of the spirit that we've received, right? The new birth causes us to serve the Lord, the living God, because of the spirit we've received. But the unbeliever, who is without the spirit, serves self. You see that? He serves himself. So that means, at the background of the word fornication, idolatry, is selfishness. That word fornication, pornia, is used literally in the following scriptures. Let's take down the scriptures. Matthew 19:9. We're supposed to go through them, but let us take it down. Read it later. Matthew 19:9. 1 Corinthians 16:16-18. I mean, 1 Corinthians 6:6-18, sorry. So the word fornication, for that act of fornication, Paul gives an answer in 1 Corinthians 7:2. In chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians verses 18 into 19, it says, "Your body is the temple of the living God, therefore glorify God in your body," right? "And in your spirit, which are God," right? So you glorify, the job of the believer is to glorify God. That is not to give his body to what? Idol worship or to fornication. Do you know what you are following? The believer. Hallelujah. So in chapter 7, now
concerning the things which you go to. I mean, then in Daniel chapter 7, verse 2, that says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. You see that?
Hallelujah.
There we go. So, fornication, therefore, will be when a man or a woman has intercourse with one who is not the husband or wife. It is a sin. That's the lady. Go with God. It is a sin. Because our body, we should glorify God in our body. Right? Our body is God's temple to glorify God. Therefore, just like fornication is immoral, homosexuality is immoral. It is a sin from Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where we are, look at verse 9. Paul uses a word here. Verse 9. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now he uses the word here, he said, abusers of themselves with mankind. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Now that word abusers of themselves with mankind is a word in the Hebrews that sounds like us now. Amen? There's a word aphenokoti. Just like us now. A-R-S-E-N-O-K-O-I-T-E-N. So to support us now is to be homosexual. Amen? Asna is from the Greek. I'll put it on my title somewhere. Amen? You see it on my title. Asenokoti. From the root word. After their soul this season. Amen? After their soul. They are not coming for today. They won last night by fluke. And what did I watch? It was by fluke. It was by fluke. At least for the first time, let them be first to take the first position for today. Just for yesterday. Because I trust my boy. Yeah? What do you call? Huh? Rain. I'm not born again. Oh, that's in the store. It's not in the sofa. Hallelujah. Somebody is talking. People are talking. Barcelona. They're giving them, the owner of Leeds has given them to the 2nd of September. If not, Barcelona as a club will be wiped out from world history. Don't go and pay Rafinha's money. You have to borrow money to get a player. Just to fight Chelsea. You have to go and borrow. Not a good club. Just to borrow from the owner of Leeds. Barcelona will go into extinction. I speak to you guys. Don't go and pay. Let's continue. Oh, I'm good to go. Okay, you just shy as a pity for you. Okay, let's continue. So, now that word, aphenokoti, okay, the word aphenokoti, Paul used that word in 1 Timothy 1:9. Look at 1 Timothy 1:9. 1 Timothy 1:9. Are you there? It says, knowing this, that the law is made for the righteous man. is not made for the righteous man rather, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for warmongers, for them that defy themselves with mankind. That is the same word. For manslayers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So he uses that word. Men who defy themselves with mankind. Paul, when writing for Timothy 1:9 and 1 Corinthians 6:9, using abusers of themselves with mankind, the background of that statement is Sodom. The background of that statement is Sodom in Genesis 19. Let's get to Genesis 19. It's a long reading. Genesis 19. Are you there? I'll read from verses 1. It says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground, and he said, behold, now my Lord, turn in, I pray you, to your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your way. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed on upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and he did bake on living bread, and they did eat. Did you see that? But before they lay down, the men of the city, even men of Sodom, mark that in verse 4, men of who? Did you see women there? Men of Sodom. Men of the city. And compassed the house round about. Both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee last night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Underline that word, we may know them. And Lot went out of the door unto them, and shut the door after them, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. You see that? Mark that word, wickedly. But now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadows of my roof. And they said, stand back! And they said again, this one fellow came into Sodom, and he will need be a judge. Now, will we deal worse with them than with them? And they pressed forth upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Hallelujah. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We know the story that after they were smitten with blindness and every other thing followed. Now, let's observe some words. Right? Okay. Look at verse 5. They said, verse 5, what did they use? That we may know them. Now, to know them, there's a reality in your world today. It's like, we want to exchange numbers, right? That we will know their name, where they are from. You know, that's how you read it in your world today, right? But remember, you have to sit in their seats, that we may know them. And we say, to sit in their seats and understand it, interpret words in their world first, you have to allow scripture interpret itself. Right? Was that what we said? So let's allow scripture interpret itself. Are you with me? Let's see how the writer will use the word we may know them. Right? Genesis 4. The writer, which is Moses. Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord. Did you see that? Verse 17. This is the more you know. Verse 17. And can you hear? Hope you follow me. And can you hear? And she called and bore Enoch. Hope you following that. Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife, and she bore his son and called his name. So when you now get to chapter 9, now that we may know him, know them. That word to know is used for to have an intimate knowledge between a male and a female. Well, that's how the writer used it. That's how Moses used it, between male and female. To have an intimate knowledge between a man and a woman, a man and his wife. Hallelujah. And in all these instances that word is used, what happened to the woman? She conceived and bore a child. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hence, that is God's design. Male and female. Not male and male, or female and female. Did you see that? What's God's design? For a man to know his wife. Not a man to know a man. Or a female to know a female. So in verse 4 of that Genesis chapter 5, I mean chapter 19, verses 5, I mean verses 4, who came, now who were the visitors? Males, right? Right? They were guys, right? So who came around Lot's house? He said the men of Sodom. Is it the women of Sodom? No, it was the men of Sodom. That was why, see, when they said that we may know him, what did the Lord offer in verses 8? My daughter says, do anything you want to do with my daughter. They don't know any man before. So do anything you want to do with them. That shows you, Lord knew what they were asking for those men for was homosexuality. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. That was their issue. Homosexuality. They said, no. Take my daughters. Give them as you want. But for these guys, no. They came under my roof. What are you following me? Hallelujah. Very, very important. So that means Lot himself understood that God's giving way is a man and a woman. Right? Is a man and a woman. Not a man and a man. And he called the act of a man and a man in verse 7, I have to underline, will be wickedly. Wickedness. Man and man will be wickedness. He calls it wickedness. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Go back again. Let's see how does the writer use the word wickedness. Let's go back to Genesis 6. Wickedness. That same word for wickedness in Genesis 6, verses 5. It used there, say, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And everything, and every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was evil continually. Did you see that? So, man's wickedness will be found in his thoughts, which is evil continually. Well, you are following me. So, man's wickedness is a state of man's heart, which is what evil. Hope you are following me. So go back to chapter 2. Let's see how Moses will use the word evil. Genesis 2, verses 9. It says, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant in the sight for food, and tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. Verses 15. And Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you must eat freely, or thou mayest eat freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did you see that? Evil. Right? Hallelujah. So if you read chapter 3, what would be that explanation from chapter 3? Unbelief, right? Will that evil be unbelief towards God's word? Will that be unbelief towards God's commandment? Hallelujah. Amen. So, evil will be disobedient to God's word. And it will be in the heart of man. Remember, I told you that Genesis 1 to 3, you will find it in the heart of man. Right? Right? Okay. In Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah used that word evil this way. Jeremiah 17 verses 9. Jeremiah 17 verses 9. Alright. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see that? So it means evil emanates from man's heart.
Okay, I follow you.
Evil emanates from man's heart. So therefore, for Moses, man's heart has been evil. For Moses, even from the epistles, man's heart being evil is a product of disobedience to God's voice. Amen? So that means homosexuality is evil, right? It's wickedness, it's evil, and it's a product of unbelief. Okay, follow me. Okay, follow me. It's a product of unbelief. A product of disobedience to God's voice. A product of disobedience. Here is how Paul will put it in Romans 1 verses 24. Romans 1 verse 24. Are you there? It says, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Okay, I'll start from verse 20. Okay, verse 18. See, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Behold, that they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his internal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Did you see that? And their holy heart was darkened. Did you see that? Evil heart, right? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God to the image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. When you say God gave them up, that would be the wrath of God, unbelief, right? Absence of God, right? Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. Did you see that? Unbelief, right? Without God, right? It's not that God now says, okay, say no. Give them to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use. I mean, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Did you see that? And it's the same thing. Hallelujah. Against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, bound in lust one towards another, man with man, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it is in their heart. It's a thing of man's heart, and it's a product of disobedience to God's voice. Okay, lady. Amen. Amen. So therefore, homosexuality is an abuse of how God designed the physical body of man to function in marriage. Homosexuality and transgender is an abuse. A close word to the word transgender in scripture is the word effeminate. We'll look at that maybe next time. Hallelujah. This is a close word to it. Effeminate. To transgender. To cross-gender. Because if you don't deal with it now, say, let's make it ethical. Man and man, woman and woman. Very soon, you start saying woman and dog. Hope you know that. If ethics is what we can just wake up and change, we begin to say, if you shift from man and man to man and dog, or woman and dog, Hallelujah. Glory to God. It can't be ethically correct. Can never be. Hallelujah. Can never be. Hallelujah. I will uphold the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is sexually immoral. And does not glorify God. Hallelujah. It is a sin. It is a sin. Therefore, another question that comes to mind is, will God accommodate homosexuality? Will God accommodate homosexuality? It's a question that we would have to deal with maybe in the next section. But I throw it open to you as an assignment. Will God accept, or will God accommodate, not accept, accommodate homosexuality? Will God accommodate homosexuality? Hallelujah. Just very important. Hallelujah. To accommodate something, I give you a hint. I will look at it next week. To accommodate is different from to endorse. God will not endorse. Scripture doesn't endorse it. Right? But God will accommodate men who are homosexual but yet doesn't endorse it. Hallelujah. Because it is a sin. Are they Christians? Are they believers who commit immoral acts? Yes. But scriptures teaches against that act, telling them that they should repent, right? And stop such immoral acts. Hallelujah. So will you go and preach? I'm saying this because most people are saying, homosexuality is sin, sin, sin. Therefore, you are preaching to someone and the person says, I'm a transgender. And I say, God forbid. You are doomed for hellfire now. God will accommodate, but Christ, God will not endorse it. Hallelujah. So we're getting, this is just a first series of this, right? I believe that the second series will begin to answer some other more technical questions. Like, when a transgender gets saved, does he have to go and retransgender himself? These are more technical questions, don't you think? We'll answer it from scripture. Hallelujah. Amen? We're taking it poco a poco, right? Step by step. I thought of that while studying, I was like, should I include that? I said, no, no. It's more technical. Right? Amen. Could that mean? You teach somebody the word, and as I see, I am non-binary. You say non-binary? What do you mean? I'm male and female in one. I'm female. Well, I can't preach to you. Why? Salvation cannot rest in your heart. No, salvation can. Right? Right? That man can still be saved. Amen? Will you call that person man or woman? That person got to be saved. Hallelujah. But that one is not saying, you are one that God has addressing as brother or brosy. No way. Amen? That person can still be saved. That person can still be used of God. Hallelujah. God will accommodate that one. But yes, it is not an endorsement. That means, your discipleship, as you get on discipling that one, that person will have to stop that act. Hallelujah. What are you following me? Glory to God. Amen? Learn something today? I hope that by the next time we meet, I will be able to deal with issues on masturbation, IVF, and some other pertinent questions within our world. Hallelujah. Can a believer do IVF? You know what is IVF? Okay, can a believer do IVF? You know, it's a question in the church world that is a sin. Shouldn't do IVF. Let's answer that question. Let's answer questions on masturbation. and some other pertinent questions. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Have you learned something today? Okay, let's thank the Lord.